all my life as a daddy. I've grown up with three boys. And I grew up with them. Brenda had four to raise when she had three sons. And through the years, we've enjoyed the athletics that happened. And we've learned with each other, you know, just to say, good game, you know. And you know what guys do. Good game, good job. I think that's the first time I've ever been told, good job, good prayer. Thanks, Jimmy. Isn't God good? All the time. Now, I want you to do this. Take a deep breath. The oxygen will help your brain. Yes. Awaken to the opportunity to hear and to have the Word of God broken for you. Would you, as we turn to Ephesians chapter 5, would you hear this? I'm going to be closing out the series on family and marriage today. And I wondered, I said, God, do I do this again? It seems that it's kind of a rehash. And I just thought the Lord said, nope, this has got some stuff that everybody needs to hear. So I'm going to be sharing it with you. This is a sermon. This is an encouragement. This is a counseling in marriage. Now, for those of you who are not married here today, we have some folks who are still single. We have some folks who are single because of loss of being widows or widowers. And I'm going to ask you specifically, would you help me today by praying for those who need to hear this? And if you're single and you're thinking about the possibility of ever being remarried or married for the very first time, would you hear God's word? Because you see, these things that we're going to be sharing are so important that God had them recorded in his word. You know what you call that? The Bible. God's word has some important things for you today. So would you, in honor of God's word, stand with me? And right now, if you say, you know what, Pastor, I know I will never be married again. I'm going to ask you to step in the place of the pulpit with me right now. And would you pray for me? And would you pray for this word? And would you pray for those who are hearing it? Would you do that right now? Even as we read. So we start with Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. You've heard this passage, but I pray that today you'll hear some new things or some things that'll bring out some thoughts. You go, well, I never thought about that before. And that it'll help you with your walk in your marriage. It starts with wives. Submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Now, is this old hat? Is this the same old? Is this, I've heard this before stuff? Listen, if that's your heart, I'm going to ask you to repent. This is God's word. And no matter how many times you hear it, it needs to be something that is not just heard, but something that is absolutely brought to your heart. That would be great. Hang on just a moment. We'll read and we'll do that. God's word should not be pushed aside. Amen? So we move to that next verse. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, the church is subject to Christ, amen? So let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word of God, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Guys, do we get that? You should. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So we go to the Lord. And Father, as we even pray now, take the word, amen, apply it to our heart, and let it go beyond the surface to the deep parts and recesses of our understanding. And I've had an opportunity and a request to be prayed over. We'll take it right now. Would you join us in prayer?
Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord,
please be seated. Years ago, I watched a movie. I don't even remember the name of it or who was in it. But there were several couples who vacationed together every year. And one year, one of them got divorced and brought in somebody new. And all the other couples were mad at that one couple because they got divorced. And they said, why couldn't you just stay in there and fight it out like the rest of us? Is that what marriage is supposed to be? Oh, come on now. Let me just ask you, is that what marriage is supposed to be? Just fighting it out, just hanging in there, just hang on till the end? Absolutely not. Marriage is supposed to be a thing of beauty, amen? Marriage is supposed to be a thing of love and joy. And however, it's just not the case in some cases. Where there's division, God intended there to be harmony. So let me ask you this. Is your marriage dull? Or is it exciting in the wrong way? Is there a way to rekindle that flame in your marriage? Yes! But don't look for magic formulas or easy fixes. You're not going to listen to one CD and everything's going to be hunky-dory from now on. It takes some work. It takes some commitment. If you're going to turn your marriage from war and peace into a happily ever after, you're going to have to work at it. Ladies, men, you're going to have to work at it. It's going to require effort. You know what? It's going to require some work. It's going to require some humility. Oh, we get humbled. It's going to require a deep commitment, but above all, friends, it is going to require a willingness. Listen to me, of all things, listen to this. It is going to require a willingness for you to do things God's way and not your way. There are certain guidelines that are very clearly laid out in the Bible, and if they're followed, they make a huge difference. If I cannot say, they make all the difference in your marriage. And I preach this morning because I want to help you to have a better marriage. So if you're here in a marriage, or you're here and you think you might be married, or one day, I don't mean you're wondering if you're married, huh? You think one day you might be married. That means all you young folks, and maybe some of us, that's the young folks. I want you to understand that there's hope. I want our young people, our singles, that hope to be married one day. And for those of you who are having a marriage that you're going, you know, this just isn't what I was hoping it was going to be. I'm hoping and praying that you have hope for what God can do in your heart and your mind by applying God's principles to your marriage. God's plan for the Christian home. I'm going to share that as quickly and briefly today as I possibly can. But in verse 22 and 23, the scripture said what? Wives, submit to your husbands. Husband's the head of the wife. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as Christ is, the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands. So here's the first thing there. And the first word is to the wife. But I want you to notice this. There are only two words given to the wife. Two very brief things given to the wife. There are seven given to the men, at least. You read into that what you will. Guys, we just need a little more instruction sometimes. I think is what it is. The first requirement for a godly Christian home is that both husband and wife must yield to the lordship of Christ. That's the first thing. It seems a constant battle in the family. It seems a constant battle in the family for who's going to wear the pants. Am I wrong? A godly home requires, first and foremost, that both husband and wife agree that Jesus is the head of their home. The husband is to be the spiritual leader, no doubt. But Jesus Christ is the head of both husband and wife. Now listen, there's some of you out there that are going, come on, Pastor. Can you really tell me that you think that my marriage is going to get better because of spiritual stuff? By reading the Bible, by doing this prayer thing, by doing this looking into the Word thing, is it really going to help my marriage? Yes, absolutely. Let me tell you why. Who invented marriage? God did. Let's just go back before that. Who invented man? Who invented the woe man? What does the marriage between man and woman in God's manner represent? It represents Jesus Christ and the church. That's how it began. Our marriage was supposed to teach us and our children, our families, what the relationship between the church and Jesus was about. You tell me that marriage isn't spiritual. It is indeed. Now, some people say, I just can't see it. I just don't see it. Well, let me tell you why you don't see it. Because you're not in fellowship with God. If you were in fellowship with God, you would hear God's voice and He would show you what He's talking about. And I know this. In many ways, it's a mystery. We don't understand all of it, but God built it. And if you will trust God because He built it and His Word tells you how it is, you can know better how to care for it. Does that make sense? And by the way, if the spark has gone out of your marriage relationship, the primary step in rekindling the flame of your marriage is strengthening your own personal relationship with God. You think, wait a minute, if I get closer to God, I'm going to get closer to my husband? Yes. If I get closer to my Lord, I'm going to get closer to my wife? Yes. If you are both seeking God and you're both Christians, that's absolutely true. So we stepped to the next part. How do we start this? How do we do it? Pastor, you told me these things, but how do we do it? There are four main things we're going to go through very quickly. Now, if you're looking at your outline, don't be intimidated. When I finally get there, it's going to go fast, okay? How do we start? First and foremost, you want to have a good marriage? You be sure, first and foremost, of your salvation. You need to know Jesus Christ. You cannot follow someone you do not know. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must surrender to His will. You must follow His Holy Spirit. Second thing, you need to be clean from sin. Sin affects your marriage. Did you know that there's never a problem or a conflict in marriage that is not caused by sin? Every conflict, every problem in a marriage, it's caused by sin. Sin should be confessed as far as it's known. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 13, it says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So confess your sin and be sure that all the sin has been dealt with before the Savior. Take care of it. And where necessary, before your spouse. 1 John 1, 9 says that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse you of your sin. James 5, 16 says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Of all the people that you want praying for you, it's your spouse. So be clean from your sin. Third thing, be committed to your Savior in every area of life. Commit to Jesus Christ. You're saying, that's going to help my marriage? It is absolutely needed for your marriage. In your worship life, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, that we didn't read, we didn't back up to there, but it was there. In your worship life, in your wedded life that we read, verse 22 through 33. In your work life, as you move on to chapter 6 in Ephesians, your work life needs to be committed to the Savior. And in your spiritual war, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, putting on the armor of God. If you do not commit that to God, then you're in trouble. You're going to lack in every other area. So be committed to your Savior. Now, where are we at right now? Let's go through those first three. Be certain of your salvation. Be clean from all sin. Be committed to your Savior. And I've got one more of the four basics, if you will. And that is be committed to your spouse. Be committed to your husband. Be committed to your wife. Simply put, can I say it this way? You want to hear a truth for you right here? Simply put, your marriage will not work until you are committed to your spouse. Say, I'm going to give it my all. If it's, well, let's see how things work, you're in trouble already. Decide, are you ready for this one? Decide that divorce is not an option, period, right from the beginning. You might want to kill them, but you can't divorce them. What is that? If looks could kill, I wonder how many funerals would have had in my marriage. I wonder, have we decided that we are just going to make sure that we give God every chance to heal any problems in our marriage? So let's look at what follows. God's plan for the Christian wife. We looked at verse 22 through 24, and there was only two words there that it gave the wife. First of all, it said submit, right? We've talked about this so many times. You already know this is a military term that means to arrange in military fashion. That's what submit means. In other words, it can also mean a voluntary attitude of cooperation. It means that you volunteer for service. You place yourself under command. It doesn't mean that you're sold into slavery. It means a voluntary service. God's word to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us that woman was to be ranked under man, that she would follow him and follow his direction. But it also says that she would desire to take over that headship. When sin came into the life of a man and woman, it says that she was going to desire to usurp the authority that God gave the man. And Paul writes to remind women to maintain the rank in the home. Follow the leadership of your husband. That assumes that the husband's going to lead. Hello, guys? We'll talk more about that in a moment. Please understand, ladies and men, you listen to this more than the ladies. God did not give this command because women were less important. Never. That was never God's intent. He did so to maintain order in the home. Because you've got to have a lead. You cannot have two heads. As a matter of fact, somebody said one time, he said, anything that has two heads is a freak. And anything that has no head is dead. Isn't that true? You can't have two heads, and if you've got, but you've got to have one. Having a leader is important. But I'm going to tell you, perhaps having a follower is more important. If you've got no one to follow, why do you need a leader? One of my favorite illustrations of this came from General Eisenhower before he became president. It says that he chewed out one of his generals one day because he called a soldier just a private. Eisenhower looked at his other general and said, you know, we can probably function better without generals than without our infantry. And he concluded this. He said, if this war is won, it will be run because of our privates. I suspect this is true for our women as well, men. If the war is going to be won, it'll be because we have some great followers. God made women awesome and resilient and smart and able to help us because God knew that we were going to need it. When a wife makes the decision that she is going to submit to her husband, she has voluntarily decided that she is going to obey and follow God. The second thing that he says to do, he says submit. The second word is respect. And God's idea of submission speaks more to respecting one's husband than it does to becoming his servant. Ladies, I want you to listen here. If I could have a few moments of private counsel with every married woman and every woman that was going to be married, I would tell you that you could learn a very valuable lesson about men. And that is this, that while women thrive on attention and time and affection, men thrive on respect. He loves having his ego stroked. He loves knowing that he's your knight in shining armor, even if his armor's rusty. When a woman makes her man feel that he is absolutely essential to her existence, she's made him feel respected. And I got to tell you, ladies, we guys like to act tough. But I'm going to tell you, your reassurance makes all the difference in our world. We need you and we need that. So we end up and we finish God's plan for the Christian wife. And that's a nutshell. And then we move to the third thing, and that is God's plan for the Christian husband. And he gives us seven things. First of all, he said we should be a leader. Husbands, you need to be a leader. God said, wife, follow. How in the world can a wife follow if we don't lead? Men, step up. The man is responsible for the spiritual climate in his home, for leading his family into a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And men, listen to me, men, young men, us older guys, we will give an account before God in the last day concerning our leadership of the home. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And because I'm struggling here, would you get a bottle of water for me, brother? Thank you. I usually do that. The second thing is, are you ready for this, guys? A husband should be a leader, and a husband should be a lover. Did anybody blush? This verse says that the husband is to be a lover, an agapeo lover. What does that mean? It's the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated when he died for us. Amen. When we give ourselves to love as Christ loved. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this. It said, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now I'm going to go back to that scripture that said that a husband is to love his wife as Jesus loved the church, right? So let's just go back to how Jesus loved the church. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, a part of those Roman roads said this. It says, but God demonstrates. He did these things, his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So let me say, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now, what kind of heart does that take for Jesus to overcome our sin to want to love us so much that he wants to die for us? Men, that's what Jesus said. This is what Christ is saying. This is what God's word is saying for us, that is what we're to do for our wives. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I would love her like she ought if she would treat me like she ought? Did you realize that God says that we men are to love our wife as Christ loved the church, and that no matter where she is, what she's done, what's going on, we are supposed to love her and commend our love towards her, even when she isn't doing her duty? All the characteristics of Christ's love for lost people is to be seen in the way a husband loves his wife. I can't see anything except what God's word says when I think of lay down your life for her. He should be a leader. He should be a lover. He should be a laborer. God's word says that we should be a laborer. If you look at verse 23, you look at verse 25, you look at verse 28 and 29, it explains the work that he's talking about. Men are called upon to invest into their marriage relationship. We are called to do what God tells us to do. We are not to conquer in our marriage. We are to woo. Now let me ask you, how many of you had a time in your life where you absolutely know that the Holy Spirit pulled on your heart so that you might become a Christian, and God pulled up. You remember that time. You know what I'm talking about? When God said, I want you to come to me, and you surrender to the Lord. Can I see a hand raising testimony? I hope and praise everybody. Did you ever have or see anybody in church under conviction? Have you ever seen it? You know, they're back when we had pews, you know, they're just about, you know, about to break the back of that wooden pew. Have you ever in your life seen somebody that's under conviction, grabbed by God and flung out of the pew and thrown down at the altar and said, I said get saved? Did that happen to anybody here? No. Do you know why? God is a respecter of persons. And the scripture says that he loves us and he woos us. You know what that word woo means? No, it's not just one of them things that wrestler used. Woo, those of you who are wrestling fans know what I'm talking about. Wooing means gentle, loving, pulling, coercion to pull you in. That's what God's Holy Spirit does to our hearts. That's what we men are supposed to do for our wives. It's not a demanding, you are supposed to do this. Listen, I've made that mistake. I got called on the carpet for it. But when God's word says that you are to love her as Christ loved the church, that's what it means, men, that you are to woo her towards you, woo her towards Christ with a loving, caring, gentle, soft love. That's a part of the work. And it's work. Oh, it's work. But that's what God calls you to do. Verse 23 also says, you should be a protector. You should love her as you love yourself. And you never harm yourself, but you protect her. Most women have a deep need to feel safe and protected. Now, let me just see how many of you have listened in the past. Do you know what the number one need of a woman is, guys? Don't answer, ladies. Guys, do you remember what the number one need of a woman is? Hello, somebody help me. Security. Can you imagine how we rob our wives of security when we don't do what we're supposed to and treat her like we should? A wise husband will create that atmosphere in his home, and he will live and he will love his spouse in such a way to show her that he can be trusted with her every need, even when we mess up. And yes, everybody messes up. Even when we fail, and sometimes she's still going to say, I realize he's got my best interest at heart because of the way that he loves me, the way he cares for me. A leader, a lover, a laborer, a protector. And guys, verse 25 tells us that we ought to be proactive. We're to be proactive. That is, we're to be like Jesus, the scripture says. In other words, did Jesus wait for us to come to him? Or did he send his Holy Spirit to pull us to him? He sent his Holy Spirit. He stepped out first. He was proactive for our hearts. And we need to make the first moves as well. Don't wait on her to suggest reconciliation. Boy, this is hard, isn't it, guys? Don't you hate this sermon? Those who giggled are awake. Those who didn't are asleep. Don't you understand that when God's word says that we're supposed to overcome and that we're supposed to be the ones to make the first move? The Bible teaches us that that first move belongs to the husband when it comes to spiritual leadership, for spiritual growth, for prayer, for an apology, for reconciliation. We're supposed to be the leaders. Ladies, we need your help. So bad we need your help. Be proactive. Number six is be a provider. We're to care for our own body, and we know we make sure that we don't go hungry. We're to provide for our wives as well. We're to realize that our wives are a part of our own flesh and to make sure that all of her needs are met. And that's what the preacher meant when he said, nourish in your wedding vows. And that's what the scripture said. He said, to nourish her. Verse 28, listen, so husbands, if you've got your Bible open, you can turn it back there. So husbands ought to love their own wife as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes, that's what it means for your wife, you nourish her and cherishes her. We're to be a provider. When you said, I will love her, nourish her, that's what you were promising to do. And the last one, we just read it. He is to cherish her, literally. You know what the word cherish means? You can say all those words, you know, it means to love, and it means to nurture, and it means to care, and it means to be lovey-dovey and all those kind of things. But what does that word really mean? Do you know what that word means? It means to soften with heat. You ever put her cold feet in the middle of your back one in the night? That's maybe a part of it, but it's a good illustration. You're to warm her up with heat. You're to be hot with love and care so that she is thawed out. Listen, it means giving tender love to your spouse. Ladies, this is a whole new meaning to saying, my husband is hot. Literally, soften her with heat, guys. She becomes pliable when you love her as Christ calls you to love her. They want to feel loved and crave special attention, and that's part of what God's saying to give them. And we've got to quit making excuses. You need to be tender. You go, well, I'm just not built that way. Listen, man up and get tender. You say, I'm just not that way, Pastor. Then my advice to you is change. Ask for God's help. Guys, it's not our natural tendency in many ways. But that's why God says it's our duty to learn to be like Jesus for us. To love with a tender heart. To woo us back to Him. To love and care for us. Let me ask you, what's more important, your ego or your wife? I pray this message comes back to you in those times where we need it. Amen. And women, can I suggest that you very patiently pray for us? Pray for your husbands. Ladies, you're to be our helpmeet. Pray for us. Can I tell you the absolute truth? You're just a bit of mystery to us. We don't understand how you feel that way and why you feel that way, except that we've been told our whole life,
they think differently, son.
You are a mystery to us. And we have to ask God, God, please help me to understand. Guys, am I wrong? But ladies, pray for us that we would have a patient understanding. Won't you please? Because we need that, and we know that you need that. We cannot fully understand your need, so pray for us that we might learn to be the one to meet that need. Now, we're going to fly through these last ones. Are you ready? Here are 8 truths to recognize for your marriage. Number 1, are you ready? Write them down fast. Truth, doing your part honors God, even when your spouse doesn't. Amen? Doing your part honors God. Loving your wife, even when they're not lovable, honors God. Loving your husband, even when he's not lovable, honors God. It will make it easier to submit to your husband, and guys, it will make it easier for you to love your wife as you should, especially when they're less than we think they should be. So do it as unto the Lord. You might say, he hasn't deserved this. Gosh, she hasn't deserved my special attention. And yet, God's word says to give it, so do it as unto the Lord. You watch and see how the ice will melt. Truth, the husband will answer for the home. At the judgment seat of Christ, the husband, not the wife, will answer for his leadership of the home. Third, the wife will answer for her lack of submission to the husband, because that is rebellion against God. 4, submission cannot be forced, gentlemen. Submission is an act of the will, and it must come from the heart desire of your wife. And as we love her as we should, she'll desire to do that as well. You can walk in obedience to the clear teachings of Jesus Christ, or you can live in rebellion to God. Which is it going to be? You have to choose. Genuine submission begins in the heart, and it will work its way out, ladies. And men, understand that as well. Submission cannot be forced. 5, God's law supersedes that of the husband. Always. When your husband is not doing right, God's word does not ask you to break the law of God, ladies. You need to be praying for your men. Pray for your man. God never expects you to break the teaching of his word. And of course, a godly husband would never ask his wife to do so. Never ask her to do anything that contradicted God's word. Number 6, Here's what I want you to remember, and this may be where you are today. So hear this one. If you've fallen asleep, wake up. Here we go. You do not fall out of love. You have to neglect your way out of it. Let me say that again. You do not fall out of love. So, oh, we fell in love. No, you didn't. You worked your way into it. And you don't fall out of love when you're married either. You neglect your way out of it, just like you worked your way into it in the first place. You say, well, we just got so much conflict in our marriage. I'm going to go back to what I said at first. Confess your sin. Get things right. Get the sin out of your life. Get the sin out of your marriage. Get the sin out of your home. Turn to God. If you have a conflict in your marriage, it's a sin problem. Number 7, when improper behavior has diminished the feelings for your spouse, remember this, that proper behavior can restore it. Yes, it can. You say, I don't think it can. Yes, it can. You know what I'm saying? Yes, it can. God's word says that we are to love as Christ loved the church. Don't quit. Gentlemen, don't quit. Ladies, don't quit. Keep trying. Proper behavior can restore the love that's been lost. I want you to remember number 8. The family that prays together stays together. I have never heard of a couple that actually prayed together divorcing. I'm not talking about just, you know, over lunch or, you know, now I lay me down to sleep stuff. I'm talking about where they really prayed together, where they bared their hearts before God with each other and shared the needs of their heart with each other and prayed for each other. I have never heard of a couple that actually prayed together that divorced. So if wedlock has turned to deadlock in your home, God's word just told you how to fix it. Will you hear it? You said, Pastor, I just can't. Yes, you can. Pastor, I just can't. Yes, you can. Pastor, I just can't. You can with God's help. The question is, will you? Not can you, but will you? God will provide you with the spiritual strength to do it if you will go to Him. We know that comes from what? It comes from bowing before God on our knees and saying, God, I've done it wrong. I need to do it right. God, I need your forgiveness. God, I need your strength. God, I need your will in my heart and my life towards my wife, towards my husband. So let me ask you, what would prevent you from going to the Lord right now to ask for a better marriage than you've got right now? Would you? Then let's do so. Would you bow? If you're sitting by your spouse, grab a hand. It'd be a good time to hold their hand and just pray for each other, to pray for the other. Would you ask God, say, God, would you help me to do my part? And God, even when I feel like they are not, God, would you give me the strength to do it as unto you, to love and to care and to respect and to submit, to provide, to cherish, to serve, to love. God, would you strengthen our marriage? Would you pray that prayer? Strengthen our marriage. And if you don't have someone to pray with right now, pray for someone. Young men, young ladies, you can pray for your future spouse. You can pray for your mom and dad. You can pray for friends that are married. Pray for God to strengthen your marriage. Right now, would you pray and say, God, help me to be obedient to your word.
Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for his help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. if you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to Him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to draw you in close to Him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have? Did you know that God's Word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive Him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really a simple, a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He came to this earth, that He lived His perfect life, that He died on the cross for your sin, and that He rose again so that He might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that He is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer and invite Him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know You personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from You. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank You, Father, that He rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask You to rescue me from my sin, and I place my faith in You alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.